What does it say about you as a partner when your spouse doesn't confide in you?
Always acknowledge and validate your partner's emotions.
Has your wife ever cried in your arms? Has your husband ever cried in your presence?
Many marriages go through turmoil simply because we've chosen to spit facts when we should be husbands, we should be wives. Hello family, welcome to another episode of Finding Beauty in Marriage, your podcast for all things marriage and where we build beautiful, meaningful and fulfilling relationships. I just want to thank you for joining us today and I hope you are going to have a great, great time with us. As you should know by now, I'm not alone. I'm with my gorgeous, gorgeous co-host and wife, Matapelo Maluka. Say hi, babe.
Hello, everybody. Thank you for joining us today, and I hope you have a great time.
Great, great. Let's get on to it. What are we talking about today, babe?
Today, we are talking about active listening.
Yeah.
Yeah? So, active listening basically is when you are fully engaged when the other person is talking to you.
Yeah.
It is listening with intent to fully understand the other person rather than just listening in order to respond.
Yeah.
So therefore, this is a critical and a very important skill in any relationship and marriage. It allows both partners to feel heard and valued.
Great, great. And I would think this comes at the backdrop of what we were talking about last week, which was basically communication. Right. So, yeah, I mean, active listening goes, like you say, it just goes beyond simply hearing the words. It involves engaging with your partner, understanding their perspective and validating their experiences and emotions.
Yeah.
So in this episode, everybody, we will be exploring 7 powerful active listening techniques and their profound impact on marriages. So I hope you are ready for that. Brace yourselves, it's going to be a very beautiful ride. What is number one, babe?
Number one is give your spouse full attention.
Yeah.
Full attention means there are no distractions for both the one talking and the one listening.
Yeah.
And the one talking is able to see and they are convinced that you are really listening to them.
Mm.
You put away your phone, you mute the TV or switch it off if you have to. Right? We said on our last episode that when you are communicating with your spouse, the world can wait. Mm-hmm. Let everything pause and wait for you to give your spouse the full attention that they need. Giving your spouse your full attention says to them that they and what they are saying matters and it is important.
Yeah.
When you give your spouse your full attention when they are talking to you, causes the both of you to engage in a very intimate moment. And it needs you to take full advantage because your partner is sharing a part of themselves with you through what they are saying.
Mm.
And we are not oblivious to the fact that you may not always be able to give your partner your full attention all the time, right? But if you are unable to give your partner the attention that they need from you at a particular time, you just don't continue being busy and ignore them.
Yeah.
When you can just simply tell them that you are unable to give them the attention that they need at the moment, you ask them if they can give you some time to finish off what you are doing and give them feedback on when you can come back to them to give them the attention that they need and be careful not to put it off for a very long time.
Yeah.
It is very important that you don't put it off for a very long time.
Yeah.
Because I would assume whatever that they needed your attention for may be very important, right? So ignoring your spouse when they are talking to you and not giving them the attention that they need says to them that they are not valued.
Yeah. Powerful stuff right there. I think it's also important just to know that attention is the most basic expression of love.
Mm-hmm.
You will know who loves you by how much attention they give you.
True.
I know when I was still searching for a wife, I longed for you to give me attention back then.
Yeah.
You know, and I also longed to give you my attention.
Yeah.
And the fact that we are married doesn't mean now that attention giving and attention seeking is no longer existent. I still need much more of your attention, even now.
Even
more right now that we're married than back then. So attention will always be that basic expression of love. The first thing you know when someone loves you is just how much they give you their attention.
True.
Now, we see this from those whose love language is quality time.
Mm.
They do not appreciate distractions at all.
True.
When they are in their love mode.
Mm.
So if you are married to someone whose love language is quality time, just know that they don't appreciate you being on your phone while they're trying to talk to you.
Yeah.
Just know that they don't appreciate any kind of distraction when they're trying to spend some time with you.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's how they know how to give and receive love.
Yeah.
Now, attention, as I said in the beginning, is the basic food and water of every living being. In other words, everything that lives needs attention. If you have a flower in your house, you would know that if you don't give it attention, it withers.
Yeah.
But the more you give it attention, and this by attention I am not talking about just watering it. Flowers need that kind of personal attention, you know, touching. Watering it.
Some say talking to it.
Some even talk to it, because flowers are just like that. They are living living beings.
Yeah.
You know? So same applies to your relationship. If you are not going to give it attention, it withers.
Sure.
The more you give it attention, the more it flourishes.
Mm.
Without attention, it doesn't matter how strong your relationship is currently. Without giving your partner attention, it's going to die.
Sure.
Yeah. How do you do this attention? As she mentioned, really just get rid of all distractions for the time being. I mean,
it's not forever.
It's not forever. It's just for that 2 hours. A study shows that 90 minutes must be given to your spouse per day.
Mm.
And that's 90 minutes
uninterrupted.
Uninterrupted. No TV, no cell phone, just you and your partner.
Mm-hmm.
And if you were to, I mean, think about it, how much time do you give to your spouse every single day?
Because
90 minutes sounds like a lot. Until you start doing it, then you realize it's actually nothing, right?
Yeah.
One thing we've seen that works for us is that we charge our phones at the same time.
Yeah.
And that helps a lot in making sure
staying engaged.
We are not distracted and one of us is on our phone when the other one wants their attention. So you can find other ways, you know, to make sure that this works for you. But what's important at the end of the day is that you give your partner full attention.
Yeah, and it's also important to be intentional about it. You know, you can actually even set time for that to say, you know, during this particular time, on a daily basis, we are going to set aside time for us to really fully engage.
Yeah, it's about being intentional about it. If you are not intentional about it, it's not going to happen.
Yeah, marriage is not automatic and nothing about it comes automatically.
Yeah.
You work for it.
Yeah. What's number two, babe?
Number two is paraphrase and reflect.
Yeah.
Right? So don't be quick to respond.
Mm-hmm.
Easy as that.
Yeah.
Don't just listen to respond and want to get your point across without really reflecting on what your partner is saying.
Yeah.
Especially during conflict. Because chances are you are not really listening to what your partner is saying,
mm-hmm.
but you are just waiting for your turn so that you can say your piece.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also paraphrase what your partner says to you to express what you hear them saying.
Yeah.
So that you get clarity of what they are really saying and what they really mean from what they are saying. We do this with couples during our counseling sessions, right? Where we ask one person to say something to the other one, and we ask the listener to say it back to the one who said something, and for them to express what they hear And they are always shocked when their partner comes back to say, no, that's not what I really meant.
Yeah.
You know, it is a tedious exercise to go back and forth reiterating what your partner is saying.
Yeah.
But it has proven to work.
Yeah.
Right? Especially during conflict, like I said, where everyone hears what they are hearing. During conflict, you hear what you are hearing, honestly.
True.
So, because the thing about conflict is that everyone is looking out for themselves. You are looking out to protect yourself. So it is either you are defensive or you are attacking. So chances of hearing your partner attacking you are very high.
Yeah.
And you go into defensive mode or attacking mode.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And here's an example of what she was just talking about now.
Yeah.
So the guy would say, for instance, or let's actually play it out, babe.
Oh, okay.
Babe, you have gained weight.
Are you saying that I'm fat?
No. That's not what I mean. What I mean is you've shaped up very nicely. You've gained weight in all the right places.
Mm.
And you look so good. I love it.
Mm-hmm. See? So when I'm in my emotions or probably we are fighting at that time, chances are I heard all the wrong things. And
even
I am
the stuff
out
that
to...
I didn't hear.
Yes, you didn't use the word fat, but that's what I heard.
Yeah.
You know, that's what I interpreted.
Yeah.
So it's very important that one... You paraphrase what your partner says.
Yeah.
You ask it back to really get what they meant, you know, by what they are saying.
Yeah.
So without reflecting on what your partner is saying, and sometimes your own emotions, like I just mentioned now, as they can make you hear things that are not said, and also paraphrasing what your partner is saying, you tend to misunderstand what they are saying.
Yeah.
So reflecting simply awards you the opportunity to understand your partner and what they are saying.
Yeah.
And it also gives you time to think things through and to help you respond better and positively to what they are saying.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really important to paraphrase and reflect.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this takes a lot of repeating, and that sounds so counterproductive to the progress of the conversation, but it is the most effective, as you've mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
Repeating what your partner says, the way you hear it, helps you in three ways. First, it helps you retain the information your partner is giving you. Secondly, it helps your partner rectify in case of misunderstanding or in a case where you misunderstood something.
Mm.
Number three, it helps your partner reiterate some of the important things you may have missed during that conversation.
Mm.
Now, an example of paraphrasing would always begin with, I hear you say, and then you fill in what you've heard them saying.
Yeah.
And like she said, chances are your partner will come back to say, no, but that's not what I meant. Or in our example, that's where I come in and say, but that's not what I meant.
Mm.
What I meant was this, actually. Now, reflecting is almost like empathizing, which we'll be talking about at some point in this podcast or in this episode. But an example of it sounds like, you had a challenging day at work with the new project that you are running.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just say it back almost exactly as they said it, or you put in your own twist to kind of put yourself in their shoes to understand the situation. But we'll talk about that more.
Mm.
Number three.
Ask clarifying questions.
Mm-hmm.
Now, asking clarifying questions shows that you are engaged in the conversation.
Yeah.
You want to understand what your partner is saying and you are fully listening.
Yeah.
It is easy not to actively listen to your partner when you are not interested in what they are saying.
Yeah.
Or when you don't understand what they are talking about. You will sometimes, not all the time, but you will sometimes hear your partner when you are talking to them responding with, you know, or okay, right?
Okay.
Are you listening?
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. You know, you will sometimes you'll pick up that they are not fully listening to you, right?
Mm.
But when you are fully engaged in a conversation, especially one that you may not particularly understand, you must ask clarifying questions.
Yeah.
And I learned that over the years in our marriage. With your career, you are in the IT space currently, and you are currently on a new venture of ethical hacking, and you are always so excited about it. You always are talking about it, and I am your wife with no knowledge of IT at all.
Yeah.
I can easily just say, Okay.
Yeah.
To the terminologies that you are talking about, I can say, you know, when you tell me that you hacked the box today, and I'm like, oh, okay, you know,
yeah.
I can do that to everything that you are saying because I do not understand. But over the years, I have learned to ask clarifying questions to every time you talk about your work. And I can safely say I know a thing or two about I can safely say I know a thing or two about IT, right? When you get your certificate, it will be mine too.
Yeah.
I hear people saying that when a pastor gets married, the wife becomes a pastor. Why is it that when a husband gets a degree, it's not the wife's degree as well?
Yeah.
So I would like to claim this one also, you know. So, but your work has become, over time, has become a topic that we can both be intimate about, you know, we can intimately connect at that level. We can intimately talk about that. So I just want to say, guys, talk to your spouse about your work, right? Talk to them about their day at work. You know, you want to come home and just, you know, tell your partner what happened, tell your partner about your frustrations at work, and all of, because you can't tell your colleagues about it, you know. Just now they're gonna tell the HR that you're always complaining, right? So you don't want to end up in a situation like that movie, Mr. and Mrs. Smith, remember, where both the husband and the wife didn't know what the other one was doing, right? You don't want to end up in that. You don't want to find yourself, or you don't want to find out that your partner is doing a dangerous or a shady job that may implicate you one day.
Right,
that is very serious. But besides all that scary stuff, but just be interested in your spouse's work life. Some are able to hide so many things that they do at work. You know, there are affairs. People have work husbands and, you know, work wives. You know,
which we need to talk about someday.
Really?
We really need to talk about that.
Yeah, about work husbands and work wives.
Yeah.
People are trading on dangerous grounds.
Okay.
So, they can't talk to, they are hiding the fact that their bosses abuse them. You know, their colleagues are abusing them, you know, because whenever they want to talk about their work life, you are just not interested or you are just not listening to them. So they are not open about that part of their lives to them. So asking clarifying questions firstly show that you are actively listening. You are interested in what your spouse is saying and you care about what your spouse is saying. It also helps you not to misunderstand them, which is mostly caused by talking at each other or talking past each other that we talked about in our previous episode, I think. So with these two styles of communicating, no one is actually asking clarifying questions because no one is interested in that. Everyone is just interested in doing their own thing.
Wow, you said a mouthful, but I think it's also important to understand that when you ask clarifying questions, it says to your spouse, I seek to understand you. When you ask clarifying questions, it allows them to see that you want more. Because if I don't ask you why in conversation, if I don't ask you questions, you can easily see that I'm not interested in that conversation. I really don't want to know more. I'm just going to give you a yes or a no answer. In fact, if we were to slip a question in there, I'll probably not answer you because it shows that I'm just not committed to the conversation that we are having. You know, you probably say, when are you taking the kids from school? And I would say, okay, you know, because we've missed all the other parts that we've been talking about, the paraphrase and reflect and giving you the
full attention.
If you can't do what we've spoken about, then you can't be asking clarifying questions because, first of all, you did not give full attention. Secondly, you were not paraphrasing or reflecting on what your partner is saying. So you definitely can't be asking clarifying questions at that moment, you know. So all these things work together to make a wholesome conversation, right? Nothing feels as good as being understood, especially by the person you've dedicated the rest of your life to be with. You know, it's so good, you know, it feels so good when your partner is asking these clarifying questions because you can see that they are seeking to understand you. And it's even better because, you know, this is a person who wants to spend the rest of your life with you. See, what asking clarifying question does is it also promotes open dialogue. It opens up the dialogue so much because it makes you expound. If I ask you a question that needs clarity from what we are talking about, it allows you to expound on what we've been talking about, you know. But it also creates a safe space for both partners to share their thoughts and feelings without fear of judgment. Because you can see, you know, from the questions, you can tell that I really seek to understand you and I'm not judging you. The third thing is it strengthens connection. So when you ask clarifying questions, you demonstrate your commitment not only to the conversation, but you are demonstrating your commitment to the relationship as well, which can strengthen your bond and deepen your connection. We've spoken about intimacy before, you know, and from a mental intimacy perspective, these clarifying questions make you bond much more.
Maybe let's role play this one also.
Yeah. All right. Let's try. Maybe you do it. You do it because you came up with it.
You're throwing me under the bus. Okay, let me say, it frustrates me when you come home late.
And then a clarifying question that I would say would be, could you clarify what you mean when you say you feel frustrated when I come home late?
What I mean is that I worry about your safety. And I can't sleep before you come home because I am anxious the whole time. And I would also like for us to have dinner as a family. So can you please try to be home earlier?
All right. I understand. And that's an example of how a clarifying question opens up the conversation. We see this a lot in our counseling sessions. Gents, we can do better, especially with the thing Yoguza of coming home late.
Yeah,
we can do much better.
Or knocking off late when you're working from home.
Yeah, we can do much, much better.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, from our example, I could have easily assumed that you are just a crybaby. You know, I mean, I'm home. Why are you crying?
I'm here.
I don't have a scratch.
Yeah.
So why are you crying? But it's when you say you are anxious the whole time. You are frustrated the whole time. You can't sleep until I come home.
Yeah.
Those things now, they didn't come up in your first sentence or in your first statement when you said you just feel frustrated when I come home late. It's that clarifying question that allows you now to open up and share much more than what you said in the beginning.
And I think it also helps because I may have said that because I'm emotional. My emotions are high at that time. And you asking a clarifying questions also calms me down so that I can better express myself also.
Yeah.
So it helps both the listener and the speaker.
Because it helps in that I will ask that question. You now know that I actually care about you.
Yeah.
Rather than just saying, but I'm here now.
Yeah.
You know, but me asking you that clarifying question allows you to go deeper. First, also, it allows you to go into your emotions to check them. You know, and find out what do you really feel about the situation.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
But it then allows you that chance to expand, not only for yourself, but also for me to understand you better, you know, and make adjustments.
Yep.
Okay, so if you have been listening to us to this point, please remember to like, comment, share, but most of all, pray for us. Pray for us so that we continue doing this. These things are hard, guys. These episodes are hard, but we trust the Lord, you know, to help us deliver. And also, share this, comment. And like I said, most of all, pray for us so that we continue doing this and we find some ease in doing them.
Yeah.
What's number four, babe?
Number four, validate your partner's feelings.
Oh, I love this one. I love
you
this
do?
One.
Okay. Yeah. So validating your spouse's feelings says or means, number one, you learn about their feelings, meaning that you really take time to hear about how they are feeling.
Yeah.
Number two, you understand their feelings.
Yeah.
Number three, you express acceptance of their emotional experience.
Mm-hmm.
And you will not be able to do this if you are not actively listening to them and to what they are saying.
Yeah.
So validating your spouse's feelings means not calling them emotional.
Yeah.
You don't regard them as being dramatic or overreacting.
Yeah.
But you accept how they are feeling to be their true emotions.
Yeah.
This shows that you truly love them and you regard their feelings as important.
Yeah.
What does it say about you as a partner when your spouse doesn't confide in you?
Mm.
They don't share their emotions with you.
Mm.
Right? Has your wife ever cried in your arms as a husband?
Mm.
Or wives, has your husband ever cried in your presence? Or do they have to go cry in the bathroom, or they have to cry in the car, or they cry with their friends, but not you, right? But simply because you never understand them or you call them overly emotional.
Mm.
Do you know how your spouse feels about your mom?
Mm.
Do you know how your spouse...
Are you making me cry now?
Or, you know, you're just a mother, mommy's boy who does not want to hear anything about your mother. You know, does your... Do you know how your spouse feels about your mom? About your siblings, right? That they come into the house and do as they please. They ask for their children's clothes money. They ask for you to support. But they cannot come to you with these things that are weighing them down because you just don't want to hear it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You don't validate their feelings.
Yeah.
How they feel about your friends that keep you late at night. You can't come home as a husband because you're still with your friends. A married man is still out there 10 a.m., right?
Mm-hmm.
You are with your friends.
We will have to talk about boundaries.
Yes, yes. Because now your spouse can't come to you with how they are feeling because you shut them down and you never want to validate their feelings.
Yeah.
So what validating your spouse's feelings does for your marriage, it makes you a safe place for them to be their true selves and not hide in your presence.
Mm.
But for them just to lay bare their feelings without a feeling of embarrassment and judgment, you know, condemnation, or knowing that they are going to be shut down.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Yeah, that just went.
I don't want to cry.
But these are things that are happening.
Yeah,
you know?
These things happen. And like I said, we need to talk about boundaries, you know, around family, around friends, around work, because boundaries need to be set in place. If your marriage is going to succeed, boundaries have to be set in place.
Yeah.
You cannot be married and still act like a boyfriend.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot be...
Or single for that matter.
Yeah, and still act like maybe a boyfriend. I mean, there are good things about boyfriends, but don't act like you're single, you know? Not being accountable to anyone, you know. But yeah, that's an episode for another day.
Mm-hmm.
We will talk about that.
Okay.
I just want to say though that validating your partner's feelings, especially during a time when they're sharing something that is not really good, you know, something sad, you know, something that is really weighing them down.
Yeah.
It's important to acknowledge their feelings. Let me put it this way. Always acknowledge and validate your partner's emotions.
Yeah.
Even if you don't necessarily agree with them, or even if you don't agree with their perspective at that moment.
Yeah.
You know, don't tell them they are overreacting.
Mm.
You know, it just makes the situation worse, you know,
yeah.
because at that moment they may be in fact overreacting, but at that moment they are not
just
looking for a referee. You know, they're looking for someone to confide in.
Yeah.
So don't be a referee in a place where you are supposed to be
a
husband or a wife.
Yeah.
You know, validate their feelings even if you don't agree with their current perspective. You know, I think many marriages go through turmoil simply because we've chosen to spit facts when we should be husbands, we should be wives. You know, sometimes you have the facts, and you can see that your partner is overreacting.
You know, it's that time of the month.
But it's not that time to be to be saying to be pulling out facts. Validate them. Give them a moment to calm down. And you validating them will actually calm them down. And once they are calm, then you get the chance to then pull out your facts. You know, and
in
say
a loving manner.
In a loving manner to say, babe, I thought about what we spoke about, and here's how I see it. You know, and then start laying the facts down. Even though you knew the facts 10 years ago, you know, just lay them and anew as though they are a new discovery, even to you. That helps you look at a situation as a unit. You want your partner to be part of the journey of how you got to the solution. You know, the fact that you don't feel the same way they feel currently doesn't mean their feelings are not real. You know, they could be overreacting. Again, I repeat this. They could be overreacting at that moment, but it doesn't mean their feelings are not real at that very
time.
You know, at that time, their feelings are 100%
real.
So, and that's why it's important to validate their feelings and emotions at that moment. Let them know and feel that their feelings are important and valid, especially to you. There's no feeling in this world that beats knowing that your partner understands you. You know, they feel what you are feeling. You know, they even though at times they may not feel what you're feeling, but they understand you. They understand why you are acting the way you are acting at that moment. Why is it important to do this? It enhances emotional support. So validating your partner's feelings enhances emotional support. It also strengthens trust. When you validate your partner's feelings, they feel heard and understood, as I've just mentioned, which also will build trust and strengthen the emotional bond between you. Trust is important.
Very important.
An example of how you can verbalize your validation of their emotions and feelings is saying something like, it's understandable that you feel upset about 1, 2, 3. You know, it's understandable. You just say it's understandable, so that they know that you are understanding where they are coming from. But I just want to mention this: while validating your partner's feelings or their emotions, don't fall into the temptation of making promises, you know, unless it's something that you've already thought about and you've already made the decision to indeed deliver on that promise. You know, because many times when, for instance, if you came to me, let's use the example that we used. You come to me and say, you feel frustrated when
you come home late.
When I come home late. And then what I do is I validate your feelings. You say, okay, I understand how you feel, and I'm sorry about that. I should not fall into the temptation of saying, don't worry,
tomorrow I'll be home at five.
As of tomorrow, I will be home at five. Because I didn't think it through. You know,
and you
I
can't make that kind of commitment.
I can't make that commitment.
At that moment.
What that would do for our marriage is that I would have now made a promise that I can't honor. And this will now destroy all the work that we have done to build that emotional support and trust that I was talking about. I now destroy the trust, that little trust that I have, because even worse now, we've spoken about this. Have you heard a couple saying, but we've spoken about this and you said you're not going to do this, and you did it again. You know, it's because during the, that heat
the
of
trip.
The moment,
yeah,
people fall into the trap of making a promise. And sometimes they make the promise just to get away from the situation at hand. You know, don't make the promises. Just validate your partner's feelings and emotions to say, look, I understand where you are coming from. you know, and I'm sorry about it. Let me sleep on it. Let me think through it.
Yeah.
Let's work on a solution if we have to. Mm-hmm. But don't make the promise. Don't fall into the trap of making a promise at
that you cannot honor.
Because you might not honor that promise, and it's going to cause even bigger problems for you.
If you can honor it, you can make that promise. But if you can't honor it, shy away from making that kind of promise.
Definitely. Yeah. Definitely.
Yeah.
Number five.
Number five, avoid interrupting your spouse.
Oh, yeah. Oh man. This is a big one. And I know a lot of men.
Yeah.
I'm speaking from a male perspective.
Yeah.
It's not attractive at all.
Okay.
It's not attractive to be interrupted when you are trying to say something.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, let me just...
So interrupting your spouse when they talk is you saying... So you are basically saying what they are saying is not important as what you have to say.
Yeah.
Interrupting your spouse means that you are not listening to understand them, but you are listening to get your point across.
Yeah.
You avoid interrupting your spouse by actively listening to what they have to say.
Yeah.
You cannot be actively listening and wanting to interrupt at the same time.
Yeah.
It can't. So if you're interrupting, it means you're not listening.
Yeah.
And when you are listening, it means you can't interrupt. Because at that time, you are using the time to process what they are saying. You are using the time to reflect on what they are saying, as we mentioned earlier.
Yeah.
And you are, as you are waiting on your time to speak.
Yeah, it's always important to resist the urge to interrupt or interject with your own thoughts while your partner is speaking.
Mm-hmm.
Allow them to express themselves fully before you respond.
Yeah.
Avoiding interruption does two things for your marriage.
Mm.
Maybe more, but I just have two.
Yeah.
First of all, it fosters respectful communication.
Mm, yeah.
Avoiding interruptions always demonstrates that you respect your partner's thoughts and opinions.
Mm.
It also creates that space for them to express themselves fully without feeling silenced or disregarded.
Yeah.
Right? And avoiding interruption also improves your focus.
Mm, yes, definitely.
You can't be really focused, like you said, while you're busy interrupting.
Yeah.
It means you are really not
hearing. If you're not focused, you are not hearing
anything. You are not hearing anything.
You are preparing your defense.
You know, exactly, exactly. Yeah. So by refraining from interrupting, you maintain your focus on your partner's words, leading to better comprehension and retention of the information that they are sharing.
Mm.
And now, if you as a couple are struggling with listening without interruption, if you notice that in your communication there's quite a lot of interruption happening, whether from you or from your spouse, we like to use this method in our counseling sessions. And I don't know how we came about this. It's called the cup method. So the cup method rule is that whoever has the cup in their hand speaks. And the person or the next person is only allowed to speak when the cup is in their hand.
Mm-hmm.
So you are going to be exchanging the cup between the two of you, right?
Yeah.
What you'll need to do is really, you give me the cup, I start speaking.
Mm-hmm.
When I'm done speaking and I'm satisfied with everything that I've said, I give you the cup and then you start speaking.
Yeah.
Right? And it's so funny because we had a couple that had this and they use the cup method, and they said it was a bit destructive in the beginning because the other person was just waiting for the cup, not listening. They were looking at the cup.
When is the cup coming to me?
So don't focus on the cup.
Yeah.
Just wait for the cup to
come to you
in your hands.
Yeah.
Only then you can speak. And you'll see that you'll need to do this a few times for you to get the hang of it.
Yeah.
But once you get the hang of it, it becomes a good habit to have, you know, because what that does for you is it improves your listening skill for everything, not just your relationship.
Yeah, true.
You'll notice that at work you listen better,
mm-hmm.
you know, at church you listen better,
mm-hmm.
wherever you are, you
listen
better.
You don't have your own sermon in your head.
You know, exactly. You know, you don't have your own stuff happening while other people are talking.
Yeah.
And it just helps you become a better listener.
Mm-hmm.
So use the cup method, and it doesn't really have to be a cup. Eh?
Yeah.
It can be anything. It can be a remote.
Yeah.
You know, it can be a phone, whatever it is that can help you.
A
phone can ring, so
it takes away something that won't bring distractions into
the conversation. Mm-hmm. So you can use anything.
And it doesn't have to be big.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be big.
Yeah.
But
just now things start happening.
You know, so just use that, and mm-hmm. hopefully it's going to help you become a better listener.
Yep.
Number six,
empathize with your partner.
Yeah.
Hmm. So when listening to your spouse, it is important that you empathize with them. Share in their feelings. This says to them that what they feel is also what you feel.
Mm.
And I guess this is the importance of marriage, right?
Yeah.
You get to that point where you just share feelings, right?
Yeah.
So you empathize with your partner by giving them your full attention. You show interest. You are curious about what they are saying. And you give constructive feedback because you are genuinely listening to them.
Yeah.
You know how people say, you get me, or so-and-so gets me, right? They are not only talking about being understood, but they also talking about that person being able to empathize with them.
Yeah, being felt.
Being felt, yeah. So empathy transcends beyond just understanding a person on a mental basis, right? Mm. But it also speaks to understanding them emotionally.
Yeah.
And this will require that you listen to your spouse in order to connect or be intimate at that level.
Yeah.
Empathy shown during a conversation builds and forms a beautiful connection and intimacy, like I've already said, between the couple.
Mm.
To say a wife gets me or my husband gets me, for me, that will be the most beautiful and fulfilling thing ever. Yeah.
Definitely. Yeah, I mean, empathizing simply means put yourself in your partner's shoes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, put yourself in your partner's shoes and try to understand things from their perspective.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it creates a deeper connection. Empathizing with your partner's experience and emotions help you connect on a deeper level as you demonstrate your ability to understand and share in their feelings. Marriage is a journey of oneness.
Mm.
And oneness will sometimes require you to feel what your spouse is feeling,
mm-hmm.
without them actually telling you how they are feeling.
Yeah.
And this is what empathy will teach you to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the more you empathize with them, the more you get into their feelings, you know,
mm.
the more you understand how they are currently feeling at that
mm.
point. It also increases emotional intimacy, and we've spoken about intimacy a great length in one of our episodes.
Mm-hmm.
So go look for those. If you can't find it, just listen to all the episodes. You'll find one that speaks to emotional.
Find the one you are looking for.
That speaks to intimacy.
Yeah.
Right, so it increases emotional intimacy because it allows both partners to feel seen, heard, and understood in a very profound level.
Yeah.
But also, and this is what I like about empathy, right? Empathy is key to resolving conflict. The reason why many couples struggle with resolving conflict
mm-hmm.
is because they are not trying to empathize with each other.
Mm.
You know, the moment you start empathizing with each other, it means you put yourself in your partner's shoes.
Mm-hmm.
He or she puts themselves in your shoes.
Mm.
They start seeing the problem
mm-hmm.
from your perspective.
Yeah.
And that helps you approach that problem as a unit rather than as individuals fighting against each other.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's what empathy does in a relationship. It's a really, really powerful way to actually solve conflict.
True.
An example of verbalizing your empathy would be, I can imagine how frustrating it must have been for you to deal with 1, 2, 3.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that shows that you've thought about what it would feel like.
Yeah.
You know, and that's a gift. You know, these things that we are talking about today are things that are so simple to do and yet so difficult
at the same time.
Do,
yeah.
You know, But when they are done, and they are done consistently, they create such oneness in your relationship, in your marriage, that nothing can really break, you know, because empathy really means I start feeling like you feel, you know, and that builds such a strong relationship in such a manner that I would do things for you because I empathize with you. I know that you are tired today. You know, I know that you are absolutely exhausted. Even though you look lively and all that, I know how you feel because I've trained myself through empathy over the years to be and feel what you are feeling. And that's what oneness, that's the power of oneness. When God requires oneness from a couple, he knows why he's asking for it. It's not just for the fun of it. It's not just for the vibes, you know. It's because God understood that oneness will create this powerful unit that is marriage, that cannot be broken by just simple things, you know.
Last but not least, use non-verbal cues. What we mean by this, or examples of non-verbal cues: nodding your head, you know, smiling, extending your hand to hold your partner to show support, right? When they are talking, is one way of using non-verbal cues while listening to your spouse, to show them that you are fully attentive, you are interested, and what they say matters.
I mean, I like what you just said, you know, the nodding, the smiling and everything. These are the things that make people fall in love. You know? If you were to just research why people fall in love, you find that it's the simplest things that make people fall in love. I tried to speak to her, she smiled at me.
Now you are in love.
Now we are
married. As an usher standing at the door, she smiled at you, and like,
now when you are going to tell the pastors feelings, you
that
know?
You wanna get married.
And it's the small things. And this is exactly what makes marriage work. People think, you know, to make marriage work, you need, I don't know, a PhD in what?
Supernatural powers.
You know, and you don't. You need these small things. You know, like we said.
Natural day-to-day normal things.
It's the small things that really make the marriage work. It's you, when your partner says, when your partner arrives from work, you just smiling, you know, welcoming them with a smile. It's a small thing, but with
you're talking
such,
about yourself, ne?
I'm talking about myself.
I
you
can
know,
see.
You know, it's the small, it's the small things, you know, giving them that hug when your partner calls you to come and see a stupid video on TikTok. You drop everything that you are doing to give them that full attention that we spoke about. You know, it's those bids for connection that your partner is looking for throughout the day, throughout the week, that you need to be attentive to, that help you build a beautiful marriage. It's not that deep, guys. It's really not that deep.
Really not
you know,
deep.
So using nonverbal cues as well is one of those things. Your body communicates so much more than you know.
True.
You know, you can be saying, you can be looking at me and saying you are listening to me, but your body will tell me whether
if
or not
really,
you're listening.
Really listening
you know? So use those nonverbal cues, as she's mentioned them, nodding, smiling. Your facial expression says quite a lot. My mother-in-law has the funniest facial expressions. She can tell you
how she's feeling,
how she's feeling right there at that moment with just a split second of a facial expression. You know, and that just shows how much facial expressions work. You know, so use them, use them to build connections with your with your partner. So use them. Nonverbal cues create emotional connections. Nonverbal cues convey emotions and attitudes, allowing you to express empathy, understanding, and support without saying a word. You know, sometimes you would be saying something that saddens you and your partner doesn't say anything, but they just put their hand on your back. You know, it's communication. It says, I care, I understand you, you know, I love you, things like that. And couples just don't use them because, you know, I think we are conditioned to think marriage takes so much work.
It really doesn't.
Yes, you do need to work in your marriage. It is work, but the non-verbal cues are small things that you can do on a consistent basis. You know, that just creates a loving and a beautiful marriage. Non-verbal cues also improve your relationship satisfaction.
Mm-hmm.
Utilizing positive non-verbal cues creates a supportive and affirming communication environment, leading to increased relationship satisfaction and intimacy.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And that's what we have for today. Do you have a challenge for today, babe?
Yes, I do. So the challenge for the week, I hope people are doing this challenge.
I hope so too.
Because they would help a great deal. And if you have done any of our challenges, please let us know.
Please.
Even if it's still in progress, you know, what you have implemented and if you have resolved anything, you know, just let us know how it's going. Yeah. We'd really love to hear. So, number one, which listening technique do you struggle with and need to improve on? Number one. Number two, what do you think you need to do to improve on that technique?
Mm-hmm.
And like always, if you don't know the answers, your partner is the best person to ask.
Yeah.
And let these two questions award you the platform and the time to discuss them from both your ends.
Awesome.
Yep.
That's it for today. Please remember to leave us a comment, a question, or just put your inputs in the comments so that we may know what you are thinking as you are listening to this. But also, most importantly, remember, subscribe, like, and share this with another couple that you think it's going to be beneficial to. Remember, be present and keep loving.
God bless.
Bye-bye.
Bye.